Let's get it going. We got a special Halloween episode for y'all. Anime brothers, we about to hop right into it. As always, I'm your man, your host, Daddy Man. Nobody else is calling me that, and that's cool. Whatever. Don't shake your head. All right, cool. Anyway, I'm going to go in a different order. We've got the disciple, Mr. Daphne, holding it down. I really like the background, how it was blurred, and then they focus in on the main shot. That's where the action is, everybody. Then we have Mr. Quiet Jams. He's going to be real quiet real soon because you got a baby on the way, don't you?
Ain't going to be no quiet in that house.
I know.
No way.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when this episode comes out, she might be here.
Yeah. So congratulations, my man. And then we have Mr. Ty, who also has a baby on the way, a little further along, but in a couple of months, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. Ooh. After Christmas, baby, right?
Yeah, December 28th.
So we got the holidays.
New Year's Eve, baby.
Right.
Okay.
That's what the doctors say. That's what the doctors say. It's gonna get.
Jamil's getting a Halloween baby, and you're getting a New Year's Eve baby.
But I had a Valentine's Day baby. So
as long as
it's
in this year, as long as it's this year, though, you get that tax write off.
That's right. I'm trying to write it.
Gabriel's birthday is the 14th, though?
No, this is the 8th, right before.
Oh, okay.
So you're just going to sit there and lie to the people. You ain't got no Valentine's
Day. It's February 8th. Yeah.
That's mad cold, dog. How are you just going to lie to people like that?
Oh, man,
it's like a President's Day.
So Jamil, yours is what? Yours is what? November 2nd?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Ty, yours is
not yet.
The baby's not even here, though.
We gave them credit Halloween. We gave homeboy credit for New Year's.
I don't know.
I was right there. So we got
you got a good 6 days.
I was like, how many days are we giving you here? Yeah. That's a lot.
That's some leniency right there.
Let y'all have your kids out. Once your kids out, then you get as many days as you want before you can. Come on now. You the dad, you make the rules.
You know that's not true.
I know it isn't, but I said it. Ain't nobody around. They went for a walk, so I'm good. I'm gonna say whatever I want until they come back in.
Now he's big man.
Oh, yeah. He's not home.
Why he's not home, now he's big man in the house. Say whatever you want, no one to check you.
Uh-huh. I know, right?
That's wildness for the next 10 minutes.
I like it. Oh.
Next 10 minutes, yeah, before he gets mobbed again.
Yeah, I play mind games with her and the man. I'll be like, maybe like, Daddy, we need this. And I'll go get it. But when they out, I say whatever my mind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today is a special day. You know, it's October 30th, day right before Halloween. So we got a special episode today. We're talking about our most chilling, scary, disturbing anime moments. Or that we feel are, we're just not like the most disturbing, but like what we feel were disturbing for us for all the anime that we've watched. Quick confessions, I keep it simple. What is your favorite scary horror movie? Or horror movie franchise?
You took me, because I was going to do something totally different. But you can go. Go ahead. Keep it simple. I like it simple.
All right. Well, I mean, when it comes to like horror movies, like the one that freaks me out the most is always going to be It. I mean, I love the original. I love the remakes for It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. That's definitely scarred me for life. Like, I don't trust clowns at all. No, I don't want to be near a clown at all. Don't get me near a clown. When it comes to horror movie franchises, it's got to be Scream. Like that. I love Scream. Yep. I watch it every October. I've already watched the first two already. I was watching it Friday with my sister. Got to finish off with the next Scream 3 and Scream 4. And then, you know, they already got Scream 5 in the books ready for 2022. I'm excited about that.
Damn. We'll see how that happens because, you know, everything getting pushed back in 2020.
Hey, we can give it 2 years. We should be done by this right now. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Hopefully we're past this hump.
Yeah, my lovely lady. I'll get you. Favorite movie franchise. Well, not really favorite. How about one that just freaked me out when I was a kid? Pumpkinhead. Back when I was a kid, that movie probably not ruined my childhood, but oh man, that was scary. I don't know why it was so scary, but you know, my cousin liked to like egg me on too, right? Like we sleep over his house and he'd be like, Pumpkinhead. I'd be like, stop it. He'd be like, Pumpkinhead. I'd be like, no, sleeping on the couch. I don't know what it was about the movie. Like watching it as an adult, I'm like, I was afraid of this. It doesn't make any sense. You know, like it's not scary to watch, you know, the entire concept of the movie is a little ridiculous. I don't know. So yeah, that was my go-to freaked me out when I was a child movie.
Yeah. All right. I don't really watch scary movies because your boy's too scared. So
for me, I know, right?
I'll tell you guys a scary moment, or at least at the time was a scary moment to me. So I believe I was in middle school, and I know because I definitely wasn't driving because I was dropped off by my friend's parents. And this is before, you know, my parents would like, you know, chill in the car, wait for you to get in the door. Nah, as soon as I got out the door, walking up the steps, they already pulled off and bounced. So I was like, all right, so.
Sometimes they got plans, you know, got places to be. Peace.
Yeah. So I walk up to the door, it's nighttime, mind you. And typically I have my keys in my backpack. So, you know, go to my backpack, look for my keys to unlock the door because no one in my family was home at the time. So, you know, keys looking, no keys. So then I'm like, oh snap, no keys. So I'm outside in the dock. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll wait, maybe call someone. But then I see these two eyes on the deck. Right? So your boy was shook. I was like, what? So didn't move, but was stuck. So slowly got my phone, called my mama. And I was like, yo, ma, there's these two eyes on the deck. I forgot my keys. I'm locked outside the house. It's dark and I can't see it. Mind you, we had possums a couple of days before. So I assumed there's going to be a possum that's going to attack me. So, you know, I was scared.
Possums are disgusting.
Right. So I thought it was game over for me. You know, middle school, game over. And she was like, my mom, she was like, well, we're not near home, so you're going to be outside. I'll call your sister and maybe have her get dropped off with her key. And I was like, oh, lit. Okay, cool. Do that. So probably like, I don't know, 5 minutes of me being frozen there and the eyes looking at me. Car rolls up. Teresa comes out. Hey, Ty. Y'all know Teresa. So,
Trey.
All out of stuff. Yep. Sorry, Trey. Y'all know Trey. My bad. She's all like yelling. And I'm like, shh. The animal's going to attack me. Like, be chill. And she was like, la, 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 la. Comes up the stairs, takes out her keys, unlocks the door, right? Then she flips the switch to the light on the deck. And it was a basketball and a volleyball that were close to each other that looked like, from a distance,
you gotta be kidding me.
That means they were illuminated enough for you to have seen like the globes, but you couldn't make out what they were? Come on, man.
Nah.
Come on, man.
So.
Yo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, it's a running joke in the family. Whenever they want to bring up something to make fun of me, they bring that.
You should have left that one in the drafts, man.
I know.
Should have left that one in the drafts, man.
I give you this. I was walking my dog. I was when I was a teenager. I always walked outside because we got woods in the back, and I was walking outside with a BB gun, and I was walking my dog, and all of a sudden I heard something like clearly, because my dog's small. My dog's the same brand breed as your sister's dog.
Yeah.
So I was walking in, this clearly was something that was coming after my dog. Cause basically big backyard, let the dog just kind of roam, whatever. And all of a sudden you hear a branch crack. Like first you heard a little bit of ruffling and then you heard a branch crack. And I was like, oh snap. I know what that is. Like that's cause we have little predators that come through, like whatever. Like, so I was like, my dog's about to get stuck. I yell at it like it was a person. I was like, you better not. And I took out my BB gun. took the safety off and just started letting off into the woods. And I was like, come on, Simon, come on. And I went and grabbed him and ran back in the house. So I kind of get what you're talking about. I don't know if I hit anything or whatever, but I definitely started spraying into the woods with this little BB gun. Anyway.
It's Pumpkinhead. It's Pumpkinhead coming for your dog.
What's it called? Mine is, I got the kind of the same excuse as Ty, because I do not like, I'm very much squeamish, and I do not like horror movies. Even making this list for the day, I was like, ooh, ah, good thing I didn't watch that anime. But.
Come on, y'all.
But, I'll let, hey, no, nothing wrong with a grown man being a little squeamish. Anyway.
Respect you.
I will say that the one that got me the most was The Ring. I was over at my buddy's house. The whole 7 days thing was going on and whatever. We were like, yo, turn your phone off. Yo, turn your phone off. We ain't playing. Like, we gonna watch this. Turn your damn phone off. Turn the phones off, everything like that. Watch The Ring. Him and I, at the very end, are like, all right, I feel like I'm scared, but I'm not. Like, all right, that was trippy, whatever. His phone rings. Little did I know, this sucker turned his phone back on halfway through the movie. His phone rings. And I was like, bro, don't pick that up. It's 12:30 at night. There's no reason to pick that up. Mm-mm. Tell me why, though.
A lot of reasons to pick that up when you were in high school. What are you talking about?
tell me why the whole rest of the night, I was just up like this, just like... Mm-mm, not playing with it, not playing. After the seventh day, I was feeling kind of happy though. On day eight, I was like, all right.
You survived.
Ring is ridiculous, man. Just stop watching that tape.
I know.
Why would you even watch the tape? Ridiculous.
The thing is, have you ever seen the Asian version? The Japanese
version? The original?
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, I've seen clips, but I haven't watched I didn't watch the whole thing.
So that one I heard is because it makes you seem like you actually watching the movie. Like, you're not watching a movie of the movie. You're watching the movie in the Japanese version. Nah, kid. Nah, I'd burn that and send it back to hell. Screw that.
There you go. Right back where it belongs.
I mean, that's where a lot of horror. There's been quite a few, like, especially back in the era of, like, with The Ring, like the early 2000s, they were taking a lot of movies from that were just originally Japanese and then remaking them to America. Like One Missed Call. That was definitely an original Japanese movie.
Or The Grudge. Which, again,
makes no sense. Like, or The Grudge, too. And I'm just like, yo, first of all, One Missed Call? Yo, if you miss call, you don't leave a message? I'm not answering. Like, yo, just call the number back. If you don't know the number calling you, why are you listening to that message? Why are you listening to a voicemail? Just delete. Quick delete. I think someone did, like, a meme or a YouTube spoof on that. We're just like, this is why that would... One Missed Call would never work with black people. It's like, oh, missed calls? Like, all right. Delete.
Facts.
Delete.
I don't even answer a number I don't know.
Hell right? No.
Exactly.
Probably because of that movie. Come on. Huh? It ruined phones for an entire generation.
First of all, if I don't know your number, I really don't got any reason to pick up. Second of all, you don't leave a message? I'm definitely not calling you back. Yeah. And if you do leave a message, depending on the area code, I'm still not listening.
Yo, I get a call from Pakistan at least once a month. I don't understand why. I don't know why. I blocked the number. Pakistan keeps calling me. I don't know why. I don't know nobody in Pakistan, man.
I'm a Pakistani prince. I want to give you money, but that's definitely not a Pakistani accent. Oh my goodness, that was horrible.
That was terrible.
Oh my goodness, that was.
We just gonna euro step past that one.
I mean, we can do whatever we need to get by that one.
Euro step past that one.
We can get damn.
So right. Yeah, who wants to start it out? What we got for like disturbing, chilling, scary anime moments?
All right, get it. You want it? All right, cool. I'll start it off. So this anime is Blue Exorcist. We have not talked about it before. So I'm gonna give a quick little synopsis. Blue Exorcist is about Ren and Yukio, who are twin brothers. They discover that they are the sons of Satan. Ren, however, is the inheritor of Satan's powers. But you'll soon find that Yukio also can take in the powers. But Ren and Yukio enroll in this True Cross Academy to become exorcists in order to defeat Satan. So I have these like, I call them like, oh word, that just happened kind of moments. So the first one literally happens in the beginning of the anime, where Ren finds out that he is the son of Satan. He's attacked by a demon. The demon's attacking him, but he's more or less trying to like bring him to Satan. So he's not like attacking him to kill him. So Ren ends up in the church with the exorcists, who are priests, but then finds out they're exorcists. And this demon's attacking him in the church, and the exorcist actually exorcised the demon. So like, as a viewer, you're like, all right, it's handled, they got this. Even if another demon shows up, they're gonna exorcise them, because those exorcists, they know what they're doing, and we're gonna save Ren. The old word that just happened moment is when Satan comes out. He's the final boss, so he shouldn't be coming out in the first episode. Like, come on. He takes over Shiro, who is an exorcist, but also the non-biological father of Ren and Yukio. And I'm like, oh snap, like, he just possessed Shiro, and Satan possesses Shiro. So I'm like, holy crap, what's gonna happen? Is he gonna die? Blah, blah, blah. And, or is he gonna kill Ren? And obviously he's not gonna do that because it's the beginning, but all that happens. And me, I'm just like, now I'm into it. Like, skin's up. I mean, the hair on my skin's up, you know, like goosebumps, crap like that. You know, I get kind of, you know, when I'm really into anime, I get into it. So in the end of that, oh snap, that just happened moment for me, Shiro ends up killing himself, because it's like a few seconds where he can break Satan's possession and get a hold of his own body again. And he kills himself in order to save Ren and close the gate that Satan had opened up to hell. So that's my moment in Blue Exorcist.
I remember that anime. that I actually liked that a lot. I really was wishing that they did more and like expanded on the story. I think they ended up doing like some more episodes, but they kind of like folded them into like the original storyline, as opposed to like making a second season, like, because I guess after you defeat Satan you can't like, yeah. you gotta fold it back in. So
yeah, so yeah. For the finish of the first season, it's like you said, Jamil, they kind of really tell the story as the first season goes out, and they kind of close it with the final episode of the first season. And they do, they close it in a way, like, you figured out everything that happens from like their birth until now and all that stuff. But they did create a second season. It's just like, Satan's going, so now it's just like other demons trying to take over, trying to be the boss, and now they have to exercise themselves.
Yeah.
And then there's a little mischief in the True Cross Academy too. So like, you don't know who's a bad guy or a good guy. So they try playing on that, since they kind of just like took out the boss in the first season.
Oh wow.
Wow.
So like, that's cool. We had nowhere to go. Yeah.
why did we kill the ultimate evil first? What were we thinking?
But yeah, it was an interesting anime. I actually stumbled upon it. I forget what day. I was months ago. I just stumbled upon it. I was like, oh, that's a good anime, for the most part, for that phone season. But anyways,
yeah,
something to watch if you like people defeating Satan.
Yeah, he's got your typical protagonist. He's got his sword. He's really gung ho, but a little bit hard headed. You know, his brother is very headstrong. So yeah, I feel that one. The one I actually did all three of these on Paranoia Agent. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but Paranoia Agent is the really short series. It follows a young woman as she kind of brings to life like an urban legend. It would definitely give you like those little thrills and chills you want for Halloween, because that's what people want these days. I want you guys, I don't really watch Like, I'm not adverse to watching scary movies, but I don't really watch scary movies like that just because, I don't know, it's not my cup of tea. I ain't like these other two, though. Mm. I'm afraid. I'm not going to watch it.
I watch them if I need to. My wife wants it, but I ain't going out my way to spend money to be scared. I'm already scared enough as a black person.
Do we all run into the bus, bro?
Shots. First off, I watched The Ring, and I didn't answer the phone for 7 plus an extra 7 to be safe. Feel me?
I just want to let you know, like, legit, this is an American problem to, like, want to be scared. Like, American, I'm not hating on white folks, just American white folks problem. There was legit a couple arguing outside, black couple arguing outside, right? They might have argued for 5 minutes. Couple swears were dropped, everything like that, and then they walked away. 3 cop cars and a cop and a police motorcycle showed up. Being black here is scary enough. I don't need to go out and pay money to be scared. If I raise my voice, all of a sudden I get 3 cops called on me and everything like that. I ain't trying to have that nonsense. So y'all can be scared all you want. I'll just take everyday life.
I mean, yeah, you don't have to pay to be scared, you know,
right?
Just, you get that freebie.
Yeah, you ain't really about going to the movie, watch it on TV, just the comfort of your own home.
Right, or you can do it like me. One of these days, I came home before Melissa, and this was like a Halloween, like 5 years ago. And like, I put on my ninja outfit because I just got it. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna hide in the bushes. But dude, I hit the bushes, man. She came home,
yeah,
and she got out the car. This wasn't at this house; it was at the condo. She came out the car, and I like came up behind her. She didn't even scream. I'm like, she was like freaked out, but like didn't actually make a physical scream. I was like, yo, if I was really about to like mug you right now, nobody would know it. You should have screamed your ass off. She's like, why are you in the bushes in an all black ninja outfit?
that's the real question. You're
asking for trouble.
That's the real question.
I didn't get attacked. I don't know. I just thought it would be funny.
All right, so what's going on with Paranoia Aging?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sidetracking.
Oh, man. All right, so. Paranoia Agent is a really short little thriller anime. The first episode, it follows a little girl that I went through. It follows a little girl as she grows up. This is episode 6. You know, she's really smitten by her dad. You know, she gets like this whole thing. One day I'm gonna marry you, daddy, and he's like, no, your mom is obviously my wife. Like, you know, can't get married, and like, you know. She's at like an arcade and the wife is like, you know, we need to save money. Don't like put any more money into this game. And she's like, no, that's our daughter. You know, like, you know, he's like ride or die. Like she could do whatever she wants to. This entire episode, like they're kind of like buddy, buddy. Her dad is her everything. His dad is everything to her, both vice versa. I don't know. I'm trying to say it the same way. Come to find out. So one day she was trying to, set him up for his birthday. She was going to put like a little screensaver on his desktop for his birthday. She comes home early, like before her parents and everything. And she does it. And then she's like, you know, trying to delete the file. And she goes into his trash bin and there's like photos in his trash bin. And the photos are in her room. And as you go on, she's clicking through the photos. She sees more and more photos of herself and like, you know, photos of herself like undressing and stuff like that. And she kind of loses her. Yeah. Kind
what
of.
What type of anime you be watching, dog? what type of anime you watch? Like this whole time, like I knew where you were going.
I know.
I was hoping you would just deviate from what was about to happen. I was just like, please don't go down this path. Like
this is how it developed in the show too. I was like, oh man, she really loves her dad a lot. I don't know what's happening right now. But so she finds it, she loses her ish, She goes to her room, destroys everything, looking for this camera. She eventually finds it. It's hidden in a wall, like jacked into the wall, like behind her bookshelf. And she like leaves the house in tears, decides better to be homeless because I don't want to live with this. And as this whole paranoia agent thing gets tied in, this little dude named Little Slugger is like an urban legend.
Little Slugger?
Yeah, he's a dude on roller skates with a bent bat, and he comes and clubs people and just kills them, right?
Oh.
That's the premise of the show. Wow. And so, and so we find out that Little Slugger, like anyone that's like in a really, really stressful position, Little Slugger will come and just like kill him or knock him out or whatever, you know? And so she's out on the streets. She keeps getting phone calls, I'm assuming from her dad, because she's like, I don't ever want to talk to you again. I never want to see you again. I will burn that house down and all this other stuff. And so like, she ends up being like, you know, I want to forget everything. And I don't want to remember anymore. And so she's sitting on a bridge ready to jump off. And like, you know, you hear the rollerblades coming up behind her, and like, he drags his bat on the ground. So you hear the dragging of the bat. He picks it up, claps her in the head, right? The next day, she wakes up. She's in her own bed. Her dad is by her bedside. He's apologizing and this and that. And she's like looking at him and goes, who are you? And it's like, oh, God. So she has amnesia, and she's back in the room that she was running from, essentially. So that was that episode of Paranoia Agent.
Why is she clubbing her and not the father? Like that,
right?
The whole premise of the show is that Little Slugger. My next thing is also it's like actual episode 6, but episode 7. It brings to light why he does it. Anyone who's backed into a corner in an extremely stressful position, the dad wasn't, so the daughter was.
So can he just sense that?
I guess he just sensed that. He's supposed to be a supernatural being. He's not like an actual person. So he's a supernatural. He's like a thought urban legend. And so he senses that.
You got clapped upside the head by a thought. it's kind of more than just an urban legend. I mean, clearly, the dude exists.
Yeah, police are investigating him and everything. Bat. Yeah, so that's what happens. Police investigate him. They got all kinds of suspects and stuff like that. That's my next. That's episode 7. Don't you worry.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. We'll let you get to that. I mean, for me, I mean, I try to avoid it. There's just no way around it when we're talking about like chilling and disturbing like anime moments. I mean, mine, I am going with the eclipse from Berserk.
Oh,
we discussed this a little bit when we talked about Griffiths and the villain, but that is just still to me one of the most disturbing scenes in anime all time. Like Berserk is just this disturbing anime in general. Like, but the fact that they ended it out that way with like Griffiths giving himself up to the God Hand and then sacrificing his entire band of the Band of Hawk. And it was just like, you know, watching them get devoured by the demons and the apostles. It was just so disgusting. Not to mention the fact that he turned into a God Hand himself and then goes and rapes Casca, right, and makes Guts watch it, and it's like so disgusting. But then like they had like in the 1990 version, like that's where it ended, and then they brought it back in 2016 and made it like all CGI a bit. So with the continuation, like there's a moment, and this is like my real like disturbing moment, like for the 2016 version, there's a moment where like this woman is like running and Guts's horse gets possessed by a demon. And while she runs into the stable and she sees like all like the carcasses and whatnot, and the horse goes and attacks her, and like it's a horrible scene, and he's like trying to like sexually, you have the horse, like a demon possessed horse, trying to sexually assault the woman, and then Guts walks in and he's looking at it, and obviously he's getting flashbacks of what happened to Casca. So he's just like so he just completely loses it and just like Kay completely wipes out the horse, like without hesitation. And it's like that anime is so disturbing on so many levels. Like I couldn't sit through the 2016 version. Like I knew it was like continuing after, so I tried. And it's just like, nah, Nah, too much. I have a limit. Like I'm not. It doesn't scare me, but I have a limit for disturbing stuff.
I feel you.
That's high on there.
When I did my research, I actually I wanted to see what you guys had to say, and then I was going to use Watch Mojo's top 10 and compare to what you guys were saying. And Dashes was number 2. That legit moment that he just talked about was number 2 on Watch Mojo. So everybody else is feeling the exact same way.
I mean, first of all, like to have that moment in like the late 90s, like that is like beyond like disturbing. Obviously 90s was a different time. They pushed the limits hardcore in just about every type of media they could, but it was just like, nah, I still way too far.
Yeah,
right? To have that moment scripted and like somebody actually thought this out and wrote this down and decided to animate it, and like a team of people put this together, not just one person. Like, it's kind of like, ooh, where were your minds at? I don't understand.
It's really sick and it's twisted, but I mean, unfortunately, there is the genre for that. There is that space for that stuff. And some people enjoy it a lot.
Those people are called psychopaths. What's it called? So I wanted to go further into like my own experience would have been when I started watching Psycho Pass. I got maybe like 2-3 episodes into Psycho Pass and I was like, I'm good. But we mentioned Castlevania and oh shoot. You haven't seen the third season yet, have you, Dash?
Nah.
I'm not gonna spoil that because it's when you talk about disturbing. If y'all want to see a disturbing moment, watch the last episode of Castlevania. The whole thing is disturbing. Last episode of Castlevania when it all comes up to light, bruh. So I'll leave that one. I'll go to this other one that I did
headphones.
I did
down.
Research on. You said what?
It's a headphones down.
Headphones down. <Come on. laughs> This last one I did research on them. Helsing Ultimate.
Ooh, that's a throwback.
Yeah, the Helsing flashback scene when she's facing the like Nazi whoever guy, and he makes her legit go back and relive her worst memories, and she has to watch as a little kid her parents get killed. She goes and stabs one of the killers in the eye, and the killer that she doesn't hurt, he ends up just shooting her. And while she's
I don't know
shot,
how she survived that. How she survived. That's crazy how she survived that. Like that bullet went deep. It was just like right in her like lower abdomen. Lower chest, I was like,
yeah.
I was like, yo, I was a kid surviving that.
And while she's friggin' bleeding out and everything like that, she's watching her mom's body, dead body, get desecrated by one of the killers. Dude's just like, hey, I'm gonna let one off. And this woman, dude, was like, hey, she's dead. He was like, body's still warm. Like, what?
You had
to relive that.
Like I said, Helsing was definitely disturbing. That I'm telling you, they were pushing the limits back then, man. Helsing was a wow.
So that's some disturbing stuff, man. When you sit there and I got a whole bunch. If you want to get into that gory anime stuff, we got things of people taking their nails off or whatever. I'll get to that next.
Yeah, kind of makes you miss the power of friendship, huh?
You and your fairy tale. You and your fairy tale.
I already know where he's going with that. Talking about when they cry.
Oh, yes. Man. Yes.
Disturbing, but now I'll let you get into that later.
Okay. There you go. See ya.
Who's next? We going back in the circle?
Back in the circle.
So I got it's another. Oh, snap, that just happened moment from Blue Exorcist. So it was the last 3 episodes of the season 1 where it was just like, it's basically the final battle, right? And they have Ren, the main character, they have him up literally on a cross and they're getting ready to execute him because he's the son of Satan and he has inherited the power of Satan. And then they used, which I thought was weird, but they used Ren's power to open the gate of hell because they want to drop a nuke into hell to destroy hell. So they actually do. They succeed in opening the gate and dropping the nuke. Does nothing. It explodes, but like nothing gets destroyed. Like Satan laughs, like, ha ha, you dropped that nuke and nothing happened. You guys suck. So
oh man.
So then he basically he's about to come through and destroy all of you. So the oh snap, that just happened moment is he takes over Yukio, Ren's twin brother. Like he just possesses his body. He's like, ah, now I have the ideal body that I need to destroy one. And then he goes ham, he starts killing people left and right. And then I mean that was really in the moment, so I'll just finish it up for you guys. But Ren, he literally like he puts down his sword and he's like, I'm not gonna fight you. You're my little brother. He's the older of the twin. I know something about that because I'm a twin and I'm older by 13 minutes. And he's just like, I'm not gonna fight you. And eventually Yukio obviously loses the possession and then they fight Satan together and win. But the moment is when he took over, Satan took over his body. That's why I was like, oh snap. I get the chills in certain scenes and certain moments. So that's it for me. I don't really have a full on, like, it's gory, it's disturbing kind of things. Cause as you guys know, I don't watch those animes or movies.
Yeah. Plus that anime is not massively gory or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No. Wait, before we get into it, is your third moment from Blue Exorcist as well?
No. Okay. I actually have one. Okay.
Just want to make sure you're diversifying.
I diversified one, but I haven't seen this in a long time, but I'm still going to talk about the most disturbing moment of this anime when it comes back to me.
All right. What you got, James?
All right. Now that I've stopped sneezing, I've got episode 2. Not episode 2. My second part, which is episode 7.
My man already forgot.
The sneezes knocked it right out of my head. It was like, bam, bam, bam. All right. Paranoia Agent, episode 7, which is MHZ, which stands for megahertz. So as we were talking about before, there's detectives. And so they're trying to solve the case of Little Slugger. And in doing so, they get a kid. He looks just like what you're led to believe Little Slugger looks like. His name is Kozuka. Kozuka. Kozuka.
Why did you do it like that?
Did you see why? Why you puckered up?
Yo. Yo, why? You had to charge that up just to mispronounce the name.
You know what I did? See, I write things phonetically, and I totally forgot what my phonetic writing was. So I was like, whoops, oopsies.
Yeah.
You could have even just said, you know, looked at the clip, heard his name or something. It's like.
I promise you, I watched all 3 of these episodes this morning. My memory just don't work like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I just want to say
struggled.
It wasn't me today. It was not me today. That's what
I know. So
struggled.
Ty, he's like perfectly pronounced all the names of the characters in his show, and I was like, "Whoa, what just happened?"
Get it, boy. Yeah.
Anyways,
you know, someone's got to slip.
Yeah, I'm right. That's me. That's today. Today, that's me, guys. All right. Anyways, Kozuka. We're going with that full pronunciation.
There you go.
They're like, they have him in for questioning. They're like trying to get him to confess. They're like, okay, well, no, you're a copycat because obviously you weren't even at the first scene. We had a witness at the first scene and they said that nobody was even there. So she faked it and you confessed to it, which makes you a copycat and a liar. So they kind of leave him at the police station. They go to investigate the first thing I was talking about, the whole like the chick that got hit in the head on the bridge. With the bat to find out exactly what her story was, but she has amnesia, so they don't really find anything out, but they find out her circumstances, what happened. She left the home. She was under extreme stress. And then they find out the circumstances of the very first couple of attacks, and they were all under extreme stress. So the detectives believe that if someone is backed into a corner, Little Slugger appears and he kind of like alleviates their pain. Like, you know, murders them. And so they go back to the station because he gets a hunch. One of the detectives gets a hunch that, okay, Kazuka, he kind of seems like he's in a tough spot right now. He's locked in a room, in like a detention room in the police station. And like, he might be the next suspect, so we should really just put him into protective custody. They go back to the station and find out that this dude had committed suicide, or apparent suicide, right? Wow. Because he's locked in a room by himself. There's nobody who could have murdered him, but like, he's sitting up against the wall, guts hanging out, like he's not in a good place. And so the prime suspect in the case is dead. They're like, we don't know what we did, what happened. There's no excuse for this. So that they all are expected to resign because, you know, Japanese culture honors everything. You dishonored yourself because you let this guy kill himself in the station. And so one of the officers goes home. He's having like this nightmare and he's like getting attacked by a little slugger. He wakes up the next day to his radio on, and his radio's in the other room. And there's a guy's voice on the radio. I think it's Kazuka's now that I'm thinking about it, if I'm remembering. And he goes, it wasn't suicide. And he's like, he can attack anyone at any time. That's backed into a corner. He can be anywhere and he's still on the loose. And like the way the guy's voice is on the radio, it's just so chilling. He's like, he can be anywhere. He's still on the loose. Little slugger's out there. And it's like, ooh, okay. So it gives you like the chill. So that was my episode 7. That was another one. I like, this is a really cool little, like, it's like an anthology, but it also kind of follows a storyline. So you can watch them all independently, but.
So Little Slugger's not killing, is Little Slugger killing everybody in each episode, or is it different each time?
So so he is killing people in every single episode, but there are instances where he's a suspect, but it's not really him.
And by what you just said, that sets up for the detectives that just got fired to basically be on Little Slugger's new hit list, because now he's in a tough spot. All right.
Yeah.
So also what I'm hearing from your from this anime is that he kills people, Little Slugger, but he doesn't kill everyone.
Everybody doesn't
get left. Okay, so some get left alive.
Yeah.
Is there a purpose for why?
You guys gotta be back down to a corner for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you could just duck this Negro, let this dude thing.
It doesn't make any sense why he's going after people who are in stressful situations. I'm just like, is he trying to, like, is this his way of like trying to alleviate them of their stress by alleviating them of their life?
That's what I'm getting, because it's like, wait a minute, he's just like going up batting people. Like the very first person in the show that gets attacked is like this lady who is under like a stressful deadline, right? And like,
damn,
her getting attacked actually alleviates the stress of her being under deadline, because now she's in the hospital, she doesn't have to work no more. It's like, oh, but then she's also kind of like catatonic most of the show. So
doing nobody any favors,
right?
Yeah. And I mean, like, this is making you an easy target. Like, If you having a regular day, you ain't feeling stressed, and all of a sudden you hear somebody on rollerblades with a bat scraping across the ground, maybe you're like, you know what? Maybe I should look at this and duck. If you having a bad day, that's like, it's just an easy target. Like, well, I wish I was dead. You hear somebody coming, you're like, I'm not paying attention. Pop, that's whack. That's weak.
So my last one is a bunch of people that wish they were dead, and little sucker don't come. But that's the next one. Don't worry about that one.
That makes zero sense to me whatsoever.
We're gonna dive into that.
For my moment, it's weird that I chose this moment, even because I hate this movie with every fiber of my being, but it comes from Akira. It's an old school anime. Honestly, it's one of the first anime movies like people like talk about, or a lot of people say like this is the movie that got them into watching anime. And I'll just say, if this was my first experience with anime, I would have never watched the genre at all. Because I can't understand this movie. I really watched this movie 3 different times so I can to make sure that I can understand this movie, and I simply don't. I just don't. whatsoever. I just don't understand this movie. But there are disturbing. There are 2 key disturbing moments in this movie. For just the background, I mean, people, if you're watching this, who know Akira, I mean, for those who don't, it follows the lives of Tetsuo and Kaneda. They're members of a motorcycle gang in New Tokyo, Japan. And after one incident where they're battling a rival biker gang with the clowns or whatever, Tetsuo gets into an accident. And he gets put into a hospital, and there's a whole lot of things where they just like he gets experimented on and everything. But there's one moment where he's in the hospital laying down, and then all of a sudden he starts hallucinating, and all of a sudden he gets into this like, for like lack of like terms, is like a playpen of death. Where it's just like he has a teddy bear and then this bunny rabbit. They just start growing large or whatever, and they're like these hideous creatures that you look at, and I wish we could put the clips in. Yeah, last time we tried to add clips, we definitely got a copyright claim. So YouTube came at us like that. So I wish we could put the clips into you or know how to do it without getting a copyright claim. But the teddy bear is trying to eat this dude, and so like he's freaking out and he's running, and then the bunny just like explodes, like shoots out this like big pool of milk where he's just like drowning, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on? This is so disturbing. And like, you know, like the ugliest looking stuffed animals I can think of. Like, they're so creepy. And like, the only reason why he gets out of the hallucination, like, you know, Naruto and Genjutsu, give yourself enough pain and it breaks. Like, he steps on a cup and he gets the shards of the glass are like embedded in his foot. And so the animals like freak out when they see the blood. Honestly, I believe it was like the little kids who were causing that hallucination. I like I said, it's been a while since I watched Akira, so I don't know if that's verified or not. But their voices,
you're definitely right.
So it was the little kids who were causing that hallucination. But even the little kids are creepy because like they're little kids, but like they're old. They're like old little kids, and I'm just like,
one of them looks like Donald Trump.
It's so disturbing. He ain't wrong though.
he looks dead like Donald Trump.
He ain't wrong though. And the other moment, the other disturbing moment in Akira, like it's when Tetsuo has his transformation into the big glob, and he just completely loses control of his power. And I'm just like, this is so disgusting. And he's just absorbing everything and swallowing everything whole, like in his body. And I'm just like, nah, man. Nah. Again, like I watched the movie 3 times and I just don't understand the purpose of this movie. I really don't. But yeah, those are the 2 disturbing moments for me.
What's it called? When you started talking, I went like this, because again, you dead on watch Mojo's list, bro. That was number 8 on that list.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was number 8 on that list.
I mean, I know that like when it comes to like disturbing moments, like I said, I've seen the movie 3 times. Like that always freaks. Those 2 parts always freak me out. I'm just like, nah.
Yo, I'm with you. I absolutely hated Akira. I was so freaking dumb. You keep wanting it to take a nice turn, and it just never does. It's just super confusing after super confusing moment. What's it called? You had mentioned it, Dash, when I was talking, when you said when they cry, bruh, there's a scene where basically like the protagonist's sister is like, hey, you effed up and you need to take off your fingernails. You need to take off 3 of your fingernails to rejoin the family. And she has a device that legit peels your fingernails off. And like, it's not just the sister that's down for it. Like there's like others watching and everything.
Yeah, all the people who are watching, dog, they come in, like, they help out, and I'm just like, why are they so eager for this?
They were about it. They wanted to see her in pain. They wanted to remove her fingernails. And if you ever just, you ever played ball or whatever, had anything just peel your finger back, you know real quick how quickly that hurts. Imagine having a device take your whole fingernail off clean. Again, in the ring, they show a moment with someone's fingernails coming off and you're like, ooh, why? So yeah, imagine having to sit down and have three of them come off and you got a crowd of people eager to take them off for you. Nah, B. So that's some ish that I'd be like, what, back to my original statements, all y'all that was probably like, oh, Chris is a scoot. He doesn't like what he's scary. No. Nah.
No, that was me. No.
Facts.
So that was my second one. That's number two for me.
Nah, when the Craig has a bunch of scary ass female characters. It's very disturbing.
Oof.
All right. Well, my third one, and I'm going to give a little story, backstory to it. So one, we all know I don't like scary movies. Watching as a kid, decided never to watch it again. That's just what I do. Two, disturbing anime. I watched this one, Claymore, is what I'm going to talk about. I watched this one when I was younger.
I've been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah, and that made me not want to watch disturbing anime. I only like watching anime that has a happy ending and it has happy stuff, all right? The fighting, I'm all cool with the fighting. I just like happy endings to all the fighting. So, to dive into Claymore. So Claymore is basically what made me like Claymore. The reason why I watched it is because it was female warriors. I believe they had biblical female names, and they were clearly just like, you know, protecting the world, fighting demons, because, you know, the female warriors. Issue with them is they had to pull demonic energy to gain power to defeat the demons. So I could get down with that, like, all right, I can get to it. Problem, what disturbed me was that if they got too angry or in a battle or something happened that just pushed them to their breaking point, they would what they call fully awaken, and they themselves become a demon. So this takes me to the last episode of season one, where Claire, who's one of the main characters, there is just like a full-on heated battle going on. And Claire has clearly gone almost past fully awakened, but not, she's like at the line, like she could just tip over and fully go demonic. So like, she's just like scary looking. So when they go fully awakened, they start to change form too, because they're turning into a demon. So like her body and everything starts to transfigure, and like she's looking more and more like a demon. And because I like main characters and I expect them to be good and happy in the end, I'm over there as a child being like, what's going on, Claire? No, my whole girl, Claire. And one of her comrades steps in as she's going to like make the final blow, which will clearly make her fully awaken. And they take the blow for her. And Claire ends up killing her comrade, which somehow causes her to regress back to her human form, because she doesn't fully go and take into her anger and stuff, because she gets sad because her comrade gets hit. So like, that's also disturbing and sad, because the comrade dies and I'm over here just like, you almost went fully awakened, you killed your homeboy, everything's going wrong, this ain't even a happy ending, it's horrible, and that is disturbing for me. All right, guys, that's all I have for you. Play more.
He had to choke it out, but he got it.
Oh, but wait, before you go, I just have an honorable mention. D. Gray Man. If anyone likes that, those kind of animes that you guys are talking about, you should watch D. Gray Man. There was some scary, what I consider scary at the time when I was younger, and some disturbing moments in D. Gray Man. That's my honorable mention.
All right. I guess down with it. Let's see. For my last one, another paranoia agent, because why not, right? It's episode 8.
My man wasn't even trying to diversify. He said, I'm sticking with one. One anime only. Pick the different episodes. This is what I'm doing.
You know what? I was going to diversify, but the like, I feel like they were they feel different enough. Like, episode by episode, they feel different enough that I was like, you know what? That one was chilling. The first one was chilling in a totally different way. The second one was chilling because, you know, like, whoa, this dude is really out there. And this one, actually, this one's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit different.
That's right. A lot of words to just say you're lazy.
Yo, he come with that fire with the joke,
right? Ooh. It's like, what? It's a global mute. No.
And this fourth Hokage looking self.
I know, right?
Hey. He does. I like. I don't. No one's commented on it. I'm just saying. People looking like that's the fourth Hokage.
That's who I be.
You look more like the right Kage, but that's okay. You know. Only real fans will get that reference.
I gotta work. I gotta work on my ass before I can, you know, start trying to be like the right Kage.
True.
Lose an arm too.
I don't know. He had to until, you know, Sasuke did his thing.
Yeah. I don't know. And then he would still be a he was BAMF. All right. So my final one here. There's an old man, there's a young girl, and there's a young man. Fuyubachi. It's
Fuyubachi.
It's Fuyubachi, man. Oh, I pucker.
Yeah,
please,
he did.
Please stop. Oh my god. Talk about disturbing moments.
Right.
What are we talking about? There's people that love these lips.
You got one.
Yep. Maybe two. Maybe
that's, two. All, from, that's all you need.
From smiling to disappointed. Disappointed.
Oh wow. Zebra is the young man. And then the young girl is Kamome, I think is her name. They meet for the very first time after like talking to each other in an internet chat room. They meet on the street and like, you know, these two older dudes are like, yo, wait a second. Who is this young girl? So like they run all over the city trying to ditch this girl. They finally do ditch her. And then like, you know, they feel bad for ditching her. But like, you know, they say, we'll apologize to her. When we're ghosts, because like she's too young to die, and then you, at that point you go, wait, what? And so they take handfuls of pills, shove them in their mouths, and eat them, right? And so they're sitting inside this like abandoned building, and eventually the little girl's like, so if you feel bad, why'd you ditch me? And she's like, no, don't ditch me again. I'm here. I'm ready to do this. And then the wall gets torn down of this abandoned building, and they're like, oh man, so. That plan went out the window. What are we going to do now? And so you find out the little girl is on board with this plan, and it's like a suicide pact. They're all trying to kill themselves, right? And so they try to like sit on this park bench, decide different ways how to like off themselves. They're like, yo, jumping off a building is too much, all this other stuff. So they the old man has a backup plan. He decides that, you know what, I'm going to buy a train ticket. And so they all go to the train station, and like, they're all ready to like, okay, so the plan is I jump, you jump, but before you jump, you push a little girl back because, you know, she's really too young to be doing all this, right? So they're at the train station, and like before any of them can jump in front of this train, another dude jumps in front of the train. He dies, right? And he dies, and they're looking at him like, man. Oh, wow, so... Maybe that's not the way we want to go. And so they go back out, they brainstorm, and they're like, what do we really want to do? And so they decide again, let's get on a train. And it's like, okay, so we don't want to do any messy deaths, but let's go get on a train. They decide to go like explore the Japanese countryside randomly as like a group of friends. They go up to the countryside. They have like a good night. They go out to like this moonlit area, like ravine, and like all tie some nooses. And like they all get in their nooses and they're like, all right, yo, tell us the go word, right? And so this dude like slips and he's like choking out, and like the little girl's like, wait, I want to do it too. And so she's like puts her knot on and she's like bouncing up and down. The tree limb breaks. They all like the two older guys roll down to the ravine, still alive, like. And they're like, what do we do? And then it's like, okay, no, be quiet, you know, if she doesn't hear us, then, you know, she'll live. She won't want to kill herself anymore. And then they're like, well, we left her out in the wilderness. She's going to die anyway. We got to go back and save her. It's like, okay. Yeah, it's unraveling. Anyways, they go to like some, you know, like the hotel essentially to stay the night. And like they're sitting there having a great night. And they're all like, oh, it would be so great just to be dead though. And it's like, after all this, like they were having like such a great night. And it's like, they keep saying it. I'm like, why? And so they're sitting there and like laying in their beds. And they're like, oh, you know, remember that guy, Little Slugger? Like, how come he couldn't just come and take us out of our miseries? Like, that would be so awesome. Like, I really wish he could just show up. And so what happens?
You're not stressed, apparently.
Yeah, they weren't stressed enough. But Little Slugger ends up showing up, and you see him through like the little shadow figures. Like, he is beating some people's head in on the other side of like that thing. And they're like, you hear something? And they're like, no, I don't hear anything. And so like this dude gets his head beat in through like the little paper door. And like they're like, oh, it's Little Slugger. He's here. Oh my God. And they like totally fangirl out. They're like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, get us. And he's like, yo. And he's like runs away from them, like hardcore runs away from them. Right. He's like, well, what are we like? They're like chasing him down the hallways outside and everything. They're like, so it's not gonna happen. Like, what? And so that ends that night. The next day, they're like, all right, well, I guess we really should just go back and try to figure out something out. Just sitting in the parking lot. And like, you know, the old guy kind of loses his stuff. You know, he's on like a medication, and he had taken like his last pill of his medication already. But, you know, somehow he had a magically had another last pill in his vial. So he takes that last pill after like having like a minor stroke, it seems like. He stands up, they walk down the street, and they're all still trying to brainstorm ways to kill themselves. Like, they photobomb a photo, and then they keep walking. And then he's like, teenagers are like looking at the photo, and they totally freak out. All these people have already been dead the entire time.
Wow. So,
yeah. They're all invisible, and they had no idea, but they hadn't successfully killed themselves, but apparently they had successfully killed themselves already.
So yeah. They didn't know they were dead, and they were trying to kill themselves as they were a ghost?
Yes, exactly.
And Little Slugger could see them. He was like, oh, what are you ghosts doing?
Yeah, Little Slugger freaked out because he saw him. He goes, oh, my God.
hey, that goes on our, that goes with our theory that Little Slugger, he should, all of a sudden, when you down and everything, that's when he beats you. All of a sudden, he saw some ghosts and was like, oh, snap, oh,
yeah,
my work's coming back for me.
Well, there is a moment, right? Well, when that guy jumps in front of the train and he goes, like, he gets up, right? And he goes, wow, so that didn't work. Back to the drawing board. And he walks away with his leg all effed up and he's like all bleeding and everything. And they look at him like, yo, what? What just happened? And they're like, yeah, maybe that's not the way we want to go. We don't want to do that. But like, I guess that was his ghost.
You said the guy got hit by a train and survived?
He got so
his ghost.
He supposedly survived. That's they sell it to you as. Yeah, they sell it to you as he survived, but he thinks he's still alive. So he gets up, he walks away, and he goes, "All right, back to the drawing board." He like limps away.
Yeah. But it's really just his ghost, right? I'm assuming
that's what my assumption is. It's his ghost. He's dead. They're dead, and they can see him because it's his, because they're dead too.
There goes.
Yeah.
Well, what a very disturbing anime to choose, Jamil.
wait. So much backstory, dude. You had to go through it.
I know, but I like it because it's short, sweet, it's cool. I like it. I watched it back in the day, and I needed to watch it again for some context, you know.
I will not be watching that. Will not be watching that.
I mean, for me, my final moment, it's going to be from one of my favorite anime, Elfen Lied. Elfen Lied is so good. We're going to Lucy. She's a Daconius. She's actually the queen Daconius, and for a Daconius, they're like some sort of an evolution of humans, like, and they look like humans, but they have horns and they have these special abilities called vectors, which manifest themselves as like invisible arms. that you don't really see at first, but like I have two moments in Elfin Lied that were highly disturbing. One that comes in like the very opening scene where Lucy breaks out for her capture, because like she's been experimented on since she was a kid, but this is adult Lucy, and she is breaking out of captivity, and she just goes on a rampage, and all you see is these guards and scientists just like completely getting their heads cut off or ripped out, and Buddy just like, yo, what the crap is going on? And then you see the vectors come out as hands, and one general who got it, she's like, the vectors just came in and just like put two fingers right between his eyes, and just like, and then you see the blood, and just like, it was so gory. And there's more moments, but for me, like the main a good moment, I say good moment in terms of like gory and chilling and disturbing, is during a flashback. You see Lucy's past as a kid, and obviously like she's lonely, whatever, because she's a Daconius and she has the horns. Nobody really wants to befriend her at the time, and she meets a puppy, and they become like best friends, and you know, Lucy's having happy times, and she's in school, and of course, you know, a school, and you're horned, and you're a little bit different. You got bullies. And I don't even understand, again, like, this is one of the things where it's just like, yo, humans piss me off. I feel no shame. Humans, I'm fine with humans dying. The boys, these three boys are picking what? On Lucy. Yeah, I'm fine with humans. When it comes to horror movies and people dying, like, yeah, you deserve it. Like, there's just some people, you just do some stuff where you deserve death.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you just nonchalantly said, I don't care if humans die.
During these horror moments, like, no.
He went full Bender, like, kill all humans.
Glad to be on a Zoom call and not here in, like, an office or something together.
Right?
Now, in the realm of horror, like, most of the time, it's deserved. And especially this moment, because, like I said, Lucy befriended the puppy and they became best friends, and they were in school one day and the bullies attacked Lucy, and not just attacked Lucy, and I don't think there was even a reason for it, just the fact that they were straight up asshole kids. They went and bludgeoned the puppy to death, and at that point all bets are off. Like, first of all, you're bullies, so you're assholes anyway, but then you went and bludgeoned the puppy for no damn reason at all, and Lucy completely flipped, and she was just like, she's like, and they were making fun of her because she's like, they were making fun of her because they were like, oh yeah, you're not even human. And she was just like, the ones who aren't human are all of you jerks. And like the kid who was like holding her, who had her in a full Nelson, his head just completely explodes. And then the other two boys were just like, yo, what the hell? It's like, nah, at that point, it's too late. Yeah, this is your time. Your time ends here.
Savage.
Like, yep. You killed the dog for no damn reason. And now it's your time to go. And so she went on a rampage and killed those kids. Like, it's very, like, once you see their bodies, like, getting ripped apart, it's just, like, it's completely disturbing. For me, justified, but still disturbing.
He said justified.
Listen, man, they were assholes. Like, they weren't going to be better.
No, what the trip is every single anime that you're talking about, somebody, there's a group of folks that feel the exact same way. And yes, it's a little disturbing that she was like, yeah, some humans just deserve to die. They just need it. Y'all nonchalant and then move on to the next sentence.
But when you go around, killing animals, first of all, the guards and the scientists who were experimenting on her like that, they definitely deserve to get it because they kidnapped her and kept her in captivity. And then you have these little kids in the flashback episode. It's like, you bludgeoned a puppy. For no reason other than you're just straight up assholes. So it's just like, nah, I'm cool with it.
And legit.
Just like, oh, what's his name? Macaulay Culkin and the Good Son. You're sitting there killing the cat. It's like, yo, that's why you got dropped from the mountain. Like, what you about, dude?
Legit, if you start killing animals that young, you probably are going to turn into a serial killer. So like, nah, that you got to get ended early. All I'm saying is, that was number 6 on Watch Mojo's list, and they had the exact same feelings as you when they was like, hey, we don't condone murder, but these three little assholes, they deserved it. So, yeah.
I mean, they're on the same page.
Where's the lie, though? Where's the lie? You don't just go around killing puppies and everybody's supposed to be like, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm like, nah. Like, the whole time, I'm just like, yo, The whole time when I was watching the anime, I was just like, yo, kill these dudes. Kill these little assholes. Kill them. Kill them. And then they died. I'm like, yeah, that's what you get.
The only thing that was more justified, that was more like satisfying, like as a death, was when Joffrey died in Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah. Sometimes you just get that satisfying moment when like that person in that show finally gets what's coming to him, and you just feel so like, yes, okay, awesome, revenge.
Especially
happened.
When you know they suffered a little bit, you're like, yeah,
oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He turned purple.
All right. So again, I really want to finish with Castlevania, but I am not.
Go ahead, dude. Call it a spoiler alert.
I mean, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it anyway. So like, whatever. I don't care.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's not. I want to
watch it.
I like Castlevania, but it's not one of those big games. I'm just like, yo, don't ruin it for me. Like, go ahead, talk about it, man.
I bet. So the whole thing is they're trying to figure out. There's this group of preachers who got turned into Satanists, right? And they've desecrated the church, and they've been holding up on the church, and they've been going around the town, and they've been putting in like alchemist signs on people's houses or whatever, right? And they're putting in the alchemist sign for hell and a different alchemist sign on that, right? So basically, Belmont and his person, throughout the whole episode, they're working with the preacher, and they're just like, hey. They're like, hey, we got to figure out what these. They're working with the town judge / preacher, and they're worried. Like, yo, we got to figure out what these Satanists are about. Like, what the hell are they doing? Like, they're doing something. There's a demon in that church. We have to go kill this demon. They're trying to open up a portal of hell. We have to get this stopped right now. And at, on the other end, you're watching Alucard, and Alucard, he's just completely, in the B plot story, he's just completely alone. He ends up friending these two people that are, they're expert assassins, and that they're trying to learn how to, they escaped, they're from Japan, and they escaped the Japanese vampire when she got killed in season two. So they're trying to go, their whole backstory is that they're trying to learn everything they can so that they can rid the world of vampires, and that they can help save humans that were prisoned like them. So Alucard's teaching them and everything like that. So anyway, it all comes into a culmination at the very last episode. And basically, they go into the church, they go fight this demon, everything like that, but the portal to hell is open. So it's not just a portal to hell, it's a portal, it's called the Infinite Corridor, and it can take you anywhere, right? And one of those openings is hell. And they're trying to go grab, the whole purpose of this is they're trying to go grab Dracula since he was killed. And so, They end up getting there. They close the portal, like right before Dracula's taken out. They close the portal. Everything's destroyed. Whatever, whatever. You come to find out that the judge that was helping them, he ends up getting killed by one of the main Satanists. Right? He gets killed, and on his dying breath, he's like, "Listen." He's telling the Satanist, he was like, "Yo, you and I are like alike. Like you actually knew what you was talking about." He was like, listen, if you don't get out of here, they're going to kill you. So he tells him this path to take. He's like, if you go down this path, if you find this apple tree that I own, you'll be able to get to safety. You'll be able to get out of here or whatever, right? And the dude's like, why are you helping me? He was like, yo, like, you're showing me. Like, he was like, you were right the whole time. Like, go, get out of here. And freaking, if you remember early on in the season, he actually tells a kid to go down the exact same path. And you're like, oh, why would he tell this? Why would he tell him where the apple tree is? All of a sudden, you come to find out that the apple tree, like on his last breath, you have Belmont and his girl come up to him, and they're like, yo, the guy's laughing. And they're like, well, why are you laughing? Like, you're about to die. He was like, I just killed him. Like, ha, 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 ha. And he goes, burn my house. Like, whatever you do, burn my house. He dies. And you come to find out that the apple tree has a trap door. As soon as you walk in front of the apple tree, there's a pit trap that has all these spikes, and it ends up killing the dude, right? And then you come to find out that they go into the judge's house because he was like, oh, burn it. And they were like, nah. Like, Belmont was like, nah, this dude was too careful. I don't know why he wants us to burn this house. Let's figure this out. And they find this key, and they open this door, and it has all these little kids' shoes. And it comes to find out, this judge, he said he had little pleasures in life, and he's been killing all the little kids. He's sending them to the apple tree, letting them fall into the trap and die. and then he collects their shoes, and then he redoes the trap for another time to go grab a kid. And it was like, that's messed up. And then with Alucard, the two people that he had befriended, he had finally been like, all right, I'm so happy to be with somebody. I'm so happy to be whatever, whatever. They thought that he was holding out on him. He wasn't teaching them all the magic and all the tricks. So they were like, yo, you're a liar. We're going to kill you. But before they did that, they come into his room. They start making love to him and everything like that. Like, there's this big, like, threesome scene or whatever. And he's like, they're going down on everything, right? All of a sudden, they got him. Like, he's, like, just chilling there like this. Like, just busted one, just chilling. And they sit there and they put this, like, electric, like, trap on him or whatever, right? And they're about to off him. And he's like, hey, don't do this. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to teach you. Like, da, 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 da. And they're like, nah, like, you're lying. You're a liar. We're going to kill you. All this other stuff. So they put their blades out. Little did they know that Alucard had a magic sword. Comes around, slices both their necks, right? drops them off. And he's like, he starts crying. He's like, all he wanted was, like, human attention. He thought he finally had friends. And come to find out that they was trying to use him to kill him and then try to take over Dracula's castle. So the whole thing with Dracula, like the real Dracula in real life, Lord Tepish and everything like that, his whole thing was he liked spiking people. He liked impaling people, Vlad the Impaler. Freaking Alucard's walking back from his garden. It's like it's kind of the same scene as in the first episode where he's kind of like he picked up all the fruit from his garden. He's walking back and he's just like, I could tell people, I could put up a sign and I could say like, death awaits, don't enter, impending doom. He was like, look, I think this does right. And you see those two bodies of those people just spike all the way through their mouths, just impale like this, right outside of Dracula's home and everything like that. So basically it's setting up for Alucard to be the new Dracula and these two, for Belmont and his girl, basically they're just like, not only we fighting evil, humanity's evil as hell too, because they just burn the whole town. Because the whole thing is the whole town, they didn't get there in time and to open the portal to hell. Everybody was sitting down at dinner, and when the sun went down, the portal opened, and to get hell to open, they needed everybody's soul. So everybody's house in that town went up in flames. And everybody in the town got killed and all the souls went to the portal of hell. And they were like, everything stopped. And they end the season like that. And it was like, what? So that was like that moment that hits you like, wow, this is horrible, man.
It went way darker than I expected it to.
Way darker. And I didn't even mention, because there's an A plot, there's a B plot, there's a C plot, there's a D plot. I didn't mention C and D, because all of them come together. C and D is two, just A and B is more. So like, when you get C and D, you're like... I just don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Sounds like Ty might be bowing out on that one.
Yo, you listen, because the thing is, I guess I don't want to blow the whole thing. I blew the main A B plot, but even C and D is worth watching. If they were their own stories, you'd still be like, golly. Like, and the fact that they all come together nicely at the very end, I'm telling you, Castlevania season 3 is like one of the best seasons I've ever seen of any anime.
Okay. Nice. Duly noted.
Do you want me to, before we wrap this up, you want me to run through what Watch Mojo feels is the top 10?
Why not? Yeah. Dude, we already got at least three of them.
Yeah. You don't have to explain them. You can just run through them.
I'm going to run through them.
Okay.
Torture Scene in Tokyo Ghoul. Hallucination was number 9 in Akira. I thought it was number 8, so I apologize. But that's what Dash had said before. We have number 8 was the Chimera. We had actually talked about this when the Full Metal Alchemist episode. Number 7 was the Hellsing flashback that I talked about. Number 6, again, was what Dash talked about with Death of a Puppy from Elfin Lied. Number 5 was More Torture from Kaiji Ultimate Survivors, where they stuck a needle into the dude's finger and everything like that, and underneath his fingernail. Fate Zero was the introduction of Caster, how evil he was.
Why does that sound familiar?
I've heard of Fate Zero, never watched it.
I was going to say, it sounds familiar. But yeah, continue.
I've seen, what's it called, number three. We talked about Fate Zero Ultimate Blade Works one of the times while I was talking about it.
Okay.
But number, Unlimited Blade Works. Number three, I mentioned it and Dash mentioned it, when they cry, when they start peeling back the girl's fingernails. Number two, Dash mentioned it, Berserk, the horse episode, when that horse is starting to rape that woman and everything, and dude goes crazy and kills it. And then number one is Blood Sea, the bunnies episode. It's straight up like, it's a basically, if you got to see more of Attack on Titan and just the Titans going in on the cities when they had no chance against them, that's Blood Sea, the bunnies. The bunnies are just there. They got these long nails. They just shish kebabbing humans. They running them over. They burning them. They eating them like corn on the cob. They doing everything. They just decimate a town any way possible that you can think of. They just murder the ish out of this town.
Well, according to Dash, if those humans did something, they deserved it.
They probably did.
They shopped.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know about Blood Sea, but you know, when it comes to Elf and Lee, yo, there's a voice.
Signed it.
When you start acting up, and like, what do you expect? You can't sit there and like try to control how someone retaliates.
Facts.
That's real. You got to suffer the consequences, especially if you don't do something like that, kill something that they love.
All right.
Just stop messing around. Just like all them cats in Jurassic Park, these Jurassic Park movies. Keep messing with dinosaurs. What do you expect to happen? Like, there should be no scenario where the humans survive. Like, nah. It makes no sense.
Stop messing around with dinosaur DNA.
The one that survives is always the one that's like, why did we do this? Yeah. Well, why is this a thing? Oh, you're going to survive. Congratulations.
Not only are we going to make a T-Rex, we're going to make a stronger version of a T-Rex and give it camouflage.
Right.
And mix it with Velociraptor DNA. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, boy.
All right. Listen, happy Halloween, everybody. Stay safe if your town is actually even doing any kind of Halloween celebrations.
That's true.
Yeah. So, hey, wear a mask. And then wear a mask under that mask. as always, hey, we've been getting some love. We appreciate all of the likes, the subscriptions. Continue to share us. Like, subscribe, let others know. People want to hear what we have to say, and we want to hear what you have to say. So if you have any comments, suggestions, or anything like that, please leave that in the comments section. As always, it's your anime brothers. Again, happy Halloween. Annie out.
Peace.
Hell yeah.
I'm the old candy. Happy.